Welcome to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, a show where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Your host is Dr. Anton Raimondo, who will be your spiritual fitness doctor, giving you practical spiritual insights and solutions from Scripture, church teachings, and saint stories to soothe your soul. And now, here is Dr. Anton Raimondo.
All right, everybody, welcome. This is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. You know, I've been taking a break for a while, and I wasn't here for the last few weeks or so. So I'm glad to be back in the saddle, ready to go. And I hope that you stick with this program today. I'm going to help you understand how to get deliverance, right? And that's part of our program where it says signed, sealed, and delivered, how we're delivered through the Our Father prayer. But I want to link it up with the saint of the day, which is coming up on Saturday. It would be Saint Benedict. And I want to talk about his medal that has an exorcism prayer on it and what that means. And some of you may know, or if you're a new listener, I have personal experience as being part of the exorcist team of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So I have experience in that. In fact, I'm one of the few doctors in the whole nation that was on site on these exorcisms or deliverance or minor exorcism. So I have been trained in the field and have helped quite a few exorcists, and in fact, one that was internationally well-known. So I'll give my insights about the St. Benedict Medal and also how we can be delivered from various things. You know, and so before I get into that, you know, let's start off with the Our Father prayer. So let us sign ourselves, just like with the name of this program, with the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when we do so, when we sign ourselves, we start with putting our hands on our forehead, and then we go to the heart, right in the middle of our chest there, and we go side to side on the shoulders, from the left shoulder to the right shoulder. So we're crossing ourselves with the sign of the cross, the Holy Trinity. And that's really one of the most powerful ways to ward off evil. So whenever you feel scared, whenever you feel anxious, whenever you feel worried or overly concerned, you cannot sleep or eat or think, you feel a certain kind of paralysis in you, just make the sign of the cross. You know, I'm also a lay Carmelite. And what that means, it's not somebody who eats caramel chocolate that's low calorie. Carmelite is after the name of a mountain called Mount Carmel, where the great Elijah challenged the 400 priests of Baal, which essentially Satan worshipers, right? And he challenged them to a contest. And of course, God brought him victory. And so he defeated the 400 priests of Baal. They were slain. And so that was that mountain where he literally had spiritual warfare against the followers of Baal or the devil, right? And so when, as Carmelites, there was monks that settled on that mountain to pray. And so I'm one of the secular people. Some of the well-known priests is, well, one of them was John the Cross. And then the nuns that you might have heard of, St. Teresa of Avila, Thérèse the Little Flower. She's also known as Thérèse of Lisieux, France. And then there's others, Elizabeth of the Trinity, and also Elizabeth of the Andes. So there's many of these Carmelite saints. And so as a Carmelite, what we are prayer warriors. And so what I hope to also equip you with when you listen to this program is how to defend yourself, to protect your mind, your body, your spirit from the various attacks that can come to you in the form of spiritual form, in the form of mental attacks, where it attacks the way your psyche or your brain or your mind is thinking, and even your body. So I used to practice anesthesiology, and so I'm not currently practicing, but I do help the disabled. And, listening to or watching some of the various news reports, I wanted to just urge people, about there's medical news reports, to be able to know the value of blessings. Now, we already made the sign of the cross, and I want to finish off by praying the Our Father together. So let's do that. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You might have heard me say this. If you're a loyal listener or occasional listener, you might have heard me change the words, as if it seems, at the end of the Our Father by saying, deliver us from the evil one, or to say, deliver us from evil. Actually, both are acceptable, and you'll see in the catechism and also the notes in the Bible, the Catholic Bible, that's actually another accepted translation. In fact, Pope Benedict the 16th, that was his preferred way of his translation, is the deliver us from the evil one, right? It's because evil is a person, and that would be the devil. So anyway, I'm bringing this up because, when we talk about Saint Benedict, I want to talk about some of his miracles and also some of the resurrection stories of Saint Benedict. So I don't know if you've ever heard of any of that. So stay tuned for that. And then the second half of the show, we'll get into the parable of the sower, which is actually the gospel reading for this coming 15th Sunday of Ordinary Time. And I'll challenge you all, and you might be very, very familiar with that parable of the sower, but I wanted to put a little twist on it and to see actually where do you think you are in the parable of the sower? Like who might you be or were in this parable of the sower? So let me get back to Saint Benedict and blessings, okay? Because some of you may not realize that the opposite of a blessing is a curse. And so if you ever felt there's a curse going on in your life or with other people, what you want to do is to get blessings. And so when you in particular are encountering some, let's say, some would, for no better way of saying it, they feel they have bad luck, that actually there might be a series of things happening to them that are unfortunate incidences or coincidences. And then some people may think, oh, it's because I have bad luck, or I might have a curse. Well, you don't have to be superstitious in that way, like, oh, did I walk underneath, a ladder, or did, you know, you broke a mirror, or, you know, sometimes we have these different kinds of superstitions, right? And then we get sidetracked and falling for that. Well, an easy way to get rid of that is to do a blessing. So bless yourself with the Holy Trinity, this power of the Holy Trinity. Like some of us Catholics, we pray the rosary. And when we pray, you know, the One Our Father and then the ten Hail Marys, and we do that five different sets of that. But at the end of that One Our Father and the ten Hail Marys, we'll say, it's called the doxology. It's like it's a prayer to the Holy Spirit. And it says, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. And what that is actually is the high point of the rosary, this doxology. It's the prayer to the Holy Trinity. And that's why it's the highest when we pray the rosary, because we pray the Our Father and then we pray the Ten Hail Marys, which literally has the name Jesus in the middle of that prayer of the Hail Mary. And then we top it off, we culminate with the prayer to the Trinity. And that's why it's the highest prayer during the rosary, the prayer to the Trinity. So when we say glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, in the same way, when we pray, when we sign ourselves with the cross of Christ, and hence the name of my program here, signed and sealed and delivered, that we are also saying one of the best ways to ward off evil, to break any kind of spells or curses. And so, in fact, let me get into, you know, when we go to restaurants, right? I hope you all pray grace, you know, thank God for the food. In fact, this is where I was trying to lead into, that there's been some news going around, you know, locally, let's say that there's this virus going around on unwashed food, you know, like vegetables and fruits, and people are really having severe GI symptoms. I don't want to say in particular exactly what it is, but you can all imagine, all right? And so that's going around and spreading in the United States. I'm not trying to spread fear. I'm actually like doing a public service announcement by letting you know to make sure you wash those fruits and vegetables. And then going around, I saw this other news article about how there's arsenic in rice. It's a Consumer Reports investigation that there's various types of rice. So you just got to look up Consumer Reports and you'll find that there's different levels of arsenic, and that's poisonous. And so this is what I'm trying to tie in with the Saint Benedict medal, okay, and blessings. And so some people may get really scared or have a certain phobia for germs. I'm not trying to, you know, to cause or trigger anybody in that way. I'm actually, again, like a public service announcement, trying to bring in, you know, certain sanitation, safety. So when you do eat out or when you do have rice at home or you have your fruits and vegetables, that you take the proper precautions of washing it really well to get rid of these contaminants or potential poisons, okay? And the St. Benedict medal actually talks about poison. And scripture actually talks about poison. So I want to get in there to equip you spiritually with the tools and the power to deliver yourself from potential harm, okay? And so when you pray the blessings, you know, over the food that you eat, when you're saying grace, you're literally saying a blessing. And remember, blessings are the opposite of curses. So when you eat out, and let's say you're eating at a restaurant, that's literally giving honor to false gods, you know, that it might be some sort of ethnic restaurant that gives honor to men who aren't, they never claim to be God, but they have them positioned there with honor, with the light candles there, and they'll give put certain things in front of these ordinary men who never claim to be God, but people honor them and treat them like God. And you know what I mean, without naming names or naming those types of restaurants. But also there's some restaurants that when they see somebody, even, you know, that just they don't like by the color of your skin or by the way you look or the way you walk or the way you talk or don't talk, or, you know, they can give you the evil eye, and which is like a curse as well, you know. And so when you go to places like this, you want to protect yourself, you know, and the way to protect yourself spiritually is, well, first of all, if you are in grace, meaning that your soul is clean from any mortal sin. Mortal sin means sin that is kills your soul. So in a sense, those people with mortal sins are kind of like walking zombies. You know, they look alive, but they're dead. You know, zombies in that term, you know, they're dead, but, you know, they're walking around this haunting people or trying to kill people and stuff like that. Well, here I'm talking spiritually, people in mortal sin physically look the same, but internally, spiritually, their soul is dead. Why? Because they chose to follow evil and commit a mortal sin, a sin that's serious, that's grave, that will kill the soul. And specifically, that's the Ten Commandments, for lack of a better example, right? So people, obviously, if somebody kills somebody, an innocent person, for no odd reason, that would be a mortal sin. It's grave. It's serious. Just like if somebody got shot, right, that bullet is grave. It's serious. It's mortal to the body. Well, if somebody who does that, you know, kills somebody, that they are also killing their own spiritual soul. So they might have killed a person, their body, but the person who pulled the trigger, the murderer, right, his soul is dead if in fact it was on purpose, on their own free will, and they knew it was wrong, but they did it anyway. It's one thing if it's an accident, right? You know, like if you have somebody cleaning their gun or on the gun range, it by accident it goes off. They didn't know the correct safety measure. Well, that's different from, you know, willful murder of somebody that's innocent. And then just to add to this, the Lord raises the bar and says that even if we're angry, you know, at our neighbor, right? Why? Because, you know, people kill usually because they're angry of something and they want revenge. So this leads to the point, you know, that some of us say, hey, I'm a good person. I never killed anybody, or I never stole anything. I'm not a thief or a murderer. But then remember with Jesus, he raises the bar and he says about the anger, right? And so, and as far as the stealing is another story, but let me just stick to the murder part about being angry. When you're being angry, you're literally like killing the person's reputation, right? By whatever, however angry you are, internally you're building up this resentment and revenge, to the point where it actually is like caustic or acidic, eating you up inside, and that's how it kills your own soul. And so the way to make sure that you are in grace is you have to confess your sins to the Lord. And the way the Lord set that up normally is you have to go to a priest to get your sins forgiven. Now, that's not just something that the Catholic Church made up. It was actually what Jesus established. And when did he establish this norm. It's the normal way of doing it. It's not the exception. It's the normal way. He did it on the most important day of his ministry. Which was the most important day of his ministry? Well, someone may say it's Good Friday, you know, when he did pay for our sins and you know, he redeemed us. Yes, that's highly important. But it's also the one. It's like the same coin, but one side of the same coin. So the other side of the coin is Easter Sunday, when he rose from the dead and defeated death, right, and opened the gates of heaven. Because if he didn't rise from the dead, St. Paul even says that our faith is in vain or it's worthless, right? All of this is nothing if he didn't rise from the dead. And so when he rose from the dead, the first thing he did after on Easter Sunday is go to the upper room, walk through the closed doors, breathed on the apostles, and he gave them the power that was only given to God. He deputized the apostles by giving him the power to forgive sins or not to forgive sins. That's where the Catholic Church learned from Jesus himself that these apostles and only these apostles and their descendants, the ones who were ordained from them. I'm not talking about bloodline descendants. I'm talking about those who were ordained in the line of that priesthood from Peter all the way down and through these apostles, that they would forgive sins or not to forgive sins. And the only way you can determine if a person's sins are forgiven or not is that the other person tells you. So, and that's called auricular confession, meaning that auricular means your ears, okay? That your oracle, your ear, the outer part of your ear is called the oracle. Not like the oracle, like some sort of Greek, like a goddess that that will tell you some prophecy. Not that kind of oracle. The oracle is like your you know, your pinna, your ear, the outer ear that can listen and hear. So this means you have to be able to, the priest has to be able to hear your confession because he can't read your mind. And then after hearing it, he can then determine if your sins will be forgiven. And he's not the one forgiving. He's the one that's deputized by the power of, by Jesus, who gave them the power of God. It's God who forgives, but he needs our hands. He needs the priest's ears. He needs the priest's body, his brain, his hands, his feet, everything there so you can walk in the confessional and determine what was done or not done, and if it's a sin that's mortal, you know, kills the body or not. And so the way to protect yourself, again, going back to the whole point here, that you're protected from evil if you are in grace, meaning no mortal sin. So why I brought up that fifth commandment about thou shalt not kill, some people will say, hey, I am not a murderer, Dr. Anton. Say, I'm good. So I'm definitely making it to heaven because, you know, I said the sinner's prayer and that's all I need to do. Well, really? I mean, here it is. You see how easy it is to break that fifth commandment? That all you got to do is be angry with your brother. And Jesus even said, just calling a person, hey, Rocky, Rocka. I'm not saying Rocky or a feminine way of saying Rocky. Like, no, I'm saying Raqqa, R-A-Q-A, where it translates into the word, you fool. So in other words, have you ever really cursed somebody? Listen to that word, curse. Have you ever started swearing? Have you ever did slander or detraction or calumny where you might have said something, wrote something, thought something evil? See, these are the things that brew in a person's heart, where that actually also gets into the other commandment of thou shalt not bear false witness. You see? So the fifth commandment and the seventh commandment, you know, bearing false witness, and then that's a spiritual sin that now culminates into the physical sin of killing. So, but what's worse is, I mean, what Jesus also raises the bar is like, if you're angry. So think about it. Has anybody out there, come on now, be real. Has anybody out there been angry with their neighbor? I mean, I'm talking about ugly anger, ugly, like rage, yelling, eyeballs popping out, spit coming out of your mouth, whatever. You turning red, fire coming out of your ear, you know, steam coming out of your head, your hands going up and down, maybe in fists and stuff, throwing things around. You know what I mean? Ugly kind of anger. Now, take it the other way around to think about the quiet kind of anger, that they say nothing, that they give you the cold shoulder, roll their eyes, walk away, say nothing, doesn't talk to you for the rest of their life. That's the other side of ugly anger. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like, think about it in the physical sense. Think about, now, I'm not trying to pick on people who are morbidly obese, okay? I'm trying to say, you know, I'm trying to be general about this. There are people, of course, who have diabetes or a metabolic syndrome or really low thyroid, that it's really not their fault that they became overweight. They have these real diseases that they're trying their best, taking medicines, exercising, and they can't get rid of it. And it can be whatever, 300, 400, 500. I've had patients that are 600, 700, 800 plus pounds. So it may not be their fault. However, those people who are really gluttonous, it's easy to see, well, then that person is not really trying. They're just, you know, so they can be actually, the possibility is they're gluttons. But the opposite side of the gluttony now is starvation, right? You may see somebody who is bulimic. They look okay until when they keep on throwing up or starving themselves, or they have this bad view of their own self in the mirror. It's dysmorphic. They look at the mirror and they think, oh, how fat I am. But really, they're just normal or just thin. But now they get cachectic. They get like skin and bone. So these are the same type of issue where they're gluttonous on the other side, gluttonous to be really, really thin, right? And or gluttonous of lack of no food, you see? And so it's really the same issue that is easy to see when you see somebody that's way overweight, or easy to see when somebody's skin and bones. But what I'm talking about is you can't necessarily see that a person spiritually is dead just because they're angry or just because they give you the silent treatment. Because why? Because who knows? Those people might have gone to confession the next day or the coming first Saturday and ask God for forgiveness and say, oh, I'm sorry, I was this way to my wife or my kid or my neighbor or my boss or my friend, you know, or I gave them the silent treatment, or I never talked to my parents because we had this argument when I was a kid or when I was married or not married or what have you. You see, these are the ways of getting, being able to deliver yourself. So by saying the Our Father prayer and signing yourself. And then now I'm going to get into the St. Benedict prayer and how to use that. You know, I'm here at the bottom of the hour. I forgot to say at the top of the hour that if you wanted to call in, I'd love to hear from you. If you had any comments or questions, please call in here. We're going to take a break, and then if you want to call right at the end of the break or right during the break, so you know, our engineer Michael can get you on board here. The number here is 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. So hopefully someone will call. Maybe we'll have a listener share or just give comment. We'd love to hear from you. Again, this is Dr. Anton on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And what we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Again, let me give a number here if you want to call in, say hello. Where you listening from, or if you had a question or comment, to please call in. The number is 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. So let me, before I get into the Benedict's Medal and the exorcism prayer that's on there and some and a couple of miracles of him raising the dead, let me just first finish off that the way to help protect yourself, like when you're eating out, let's say, or just eating food, right, or drinking, is to say grace, that you're thanking God for the food, and that when you're in also in grace, meaning no mortal sin, that you're protected. But still, it's always good to thank God for the food and drink that you're having, even if you're at McDonald's. Me and my family would even pray when we go to McDonald's, you know, or we have the, you know, a fancy meal elsewhere, right? And also that when you pray and thank God, that's when you can ask to protect you from any type of illness that may come from the food or the drink. Because remember, that blessing that you're having is also wards off evil, all right? All right, so let's go on now to the St. Benedict's Medal. And some of you may be familiar with it. It's two sides of a coin that has these initials on them, but these initials, you don't know what they mean because they're in Latin, first of all. It looks like English letters. We in the exorcism ministry, and again, you know, I'm one of those doctors who is actually in the field during the exorcism, of whether it's a minor or major or a deliverance, so we're there. Again, there's very few, you know, if at all. It's actually not that common. But, you know, I've been in there, and I'll come in there with my crucifix on, with the St. Benedict's medal there, and we'll be using that, and we'll may have a relic of the True Cross or some relic of another, of a saint, holy water, you know, scripture, you know, different things like that. And so this particular medal of Saint Benedict, on the backside of it, I'll say that part. It has the word in Latin "pax," P-A-X, and that means peace. And then there is an abbreviation, C-S-S-M-L, and it means "May the Holy Cross be my light." I'm just going to read the English translation of what it says. I don't want to confuse you all about all the Latin sounding. I mean, I took Latin, I can say it. I don't want to, you know, prolong things here. But what it says on the backside, it says peace, and it says, may the Holy Cross be my light. And then it says, may the dragon never be my guide. And then it says, the Holy Cross of the Holy Father Benedict. Now, when he says Holy Father, that doesn't mean the Holy Father, the Pope. Benedict was not the Pope. I mean, yes, we have popes named Benedict, like, you know, the Pope Benedict the 16th, this day, because he was the founder of the Order of the Benedictines, right? So here it says, the cross of the Holy Father Benedict. And then it says, begone, Satan. Never tempt me with your vanities. Whatever, what you offer me is evil. Drink the poison yourself. So that's the part I was trying to tie in with this news on Consumer Reports about ice, arsenic in the rice, stuff on the causing severe GI symptoms on fruits and vegetables that hasn't been washed. And so on that Benedict medal itself, it says, drink the poison yourself. So it's an exorcism prayer that's on this medal. And so if you have that medal, put it on you, or, you know, have it placed in different places, your home, and you're literally telling the dragon, and the Latin for that is Draco. I don't know if you remember watching, you know, Rocky, the guy's name, I thought his name was Draco. You know, that guy, Russian guy with the crew cut haircut, super tall. I mean, looked like an Adonis type guy, you know, fought in Rocky, right? And Draco means dragon. So it says on this Benedict medal, may the dragon never be my guide. And further on, it says, be gone, Satan, Satan, all right? Be gone, Satan. Never tempt me with your vanity. What you offer me is evil. Drink the poison yourself. So this is why we use this in the exorcism ministry, but you can use this to also help you deliver yourself from any evil that's coming your way. In fact, that's when we pray the Our Father, right? The best prayer you can ever pray is the Our Father, the most perfect prayer. Because why? Because Jesus gave it to us. He gave us the insight how to talk to his dad, to Abba, to his daddy, right? Which we, as adopted children of God, he's our daddy too. So anyway, on the opposite side, it says, on the front side, it says, the cross of Holy Father Benedict, may we be strengthened by his presence in the hour of our death. So we're just like we're asking the Blessed Mother to pray for us now and at the hour of the death. We can ask another saint here, Saint Benedict, to help us, because at the end of our life, the devil wants to take us to make us commit sin, take our soul in when we're the weakest. Remember, that's what the devil did when Jesus was at his weakest on the 40th day in the desert, when he was, you know, hungry and thirsty. Right, he was fasting. That's when the devil attacked him. So. And so he was able to fight off the devil with by saying scripture from, you know, Deuteronomy 8 and Deuteronomy 6, and he said that twice, two different, Deuteronomy 6:13 and Deuteronomy 6:8, if I remember right. That's how he was able to fend off those temptations. And that's why we ask the Lord to deliver us from the evil one, deliver us, right? And so we're asking this saint, Benedict, we're asking the Blessed Mother, just like St. Paul is asking people to pray for him. Well, we too, he's a saint. So it's not wrong. Like, if it was wrong, why would St. Paul ask us to pray for him? Well, we too, we're brothers in Christ. We can pray. Well, we are asking Benedict, hey, can you pray for us? You know, Blessed Mother, can you pray for us? We're not bypassing Jesus. They're just going to pass the message on to Jesus. Hey, Jesus. I mean, they don't say, hey, Jesus, and be as casual as I just said. They said, our Lord Jesus, would you, Dr. Anthony just asked this help, and can you please help him? St. Benedict may go to Jesus. you know, Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Dr. Anton just asked this, you know, or Blessed Mother said, Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Dr. Anton is requesting this, he's praying for these people on his radio station, can you help them? That's how it works. They follow the chain of command. They don't skip the line. So the last thing it says on the front side of the St. Benedict medal is it says where it came from Holy Mountain Mount Casino. And I'm not talking about the casino where you go, you know, gambling and playing, you know, poker or, you know, shooting dice and stuff like that. It's Holy Monte. I don't know if it's pronounced Casino or Casino. It looks like Casino, but there's two S's. Anyway, that's what it said. So let me go on now to a few unknown stories, or not, it hasn't been popularized. You know, he was a twin. His sister was Scholastica. She was a saint. But what I'm going to talk about here is actually two episodes of Saint Benedict raising people from the dead. Okay? And so in the same way, when I talk about deliverance, I want to help you be all delivered and brand new. So if you're in mortal sin, that you know you got to go to a priest to get forgiven, because that's the normal way Jesus set it up. And he actually showed the example on the cross, that he heard the confession of the good thief, and when he heard him, he forgave him and promised him heaven. He gave the example while he was on the cross. And then he gave the power then to the apostles to do so. That's the normal way. Okay, there's extraordinary ways one can forget different sins forgiven, but that's harder to get it done because you don't have a witness to determine, hey, are you really sorry, or are those alligator tears or what? How do we know you're telling the truth? You need an objective person to hear what you did to determine, yeah, it sounds like you're really not sorry. I mean, you can tell that if you're from your kid, or, you know, a friend or a coworker, or even a spouse, and you can kind of tell if it's like a half-truth. Well, it's kind of the same way when you go talking to, you know, a man of God, a priest, who's given the power by Jesus to forgive sins. You can tell, and they're given the power. They're deputized. Anyway, let's go to these two stories here. So here's the story. It says that one day there was... that Saint Benedict, he was returning to the monastery from working the fields, and he was met by a farmer who was in great distress. And this farmer said to Saint Benedict, he said, "Give me back my son, give me back my son." And Benedict came to a halt and responded to the farmer. He said, "But I have not taken your son from you, have I?" And the farmer said, "He's dead. Come, bring him back to life." No, you know, Saint Benedict, to my knowledge, he's never done this before. So he's like, "What?" But Benedict's companions eagerly went to the distraught father and ready to go see where his son is at. But Benedict was stricken with the suggestion that he's to raise the person from the dead. And so Benedict was calling out to his brethren, said, "Stand back, brethren, stand back. Such a miracle is beyond our power." Saint Benedict didn't think he had the power. And he said, "The holy apostles are the only ones who can raise the dead." You see how humble Saint Benedict was? He said, "The holy apostles are the only ones who can raise the dead." He said, "Why are you so eager to accept what is impossible for us?" And this is this great Saint Benedict. Do you remember in Philippians, right? That we can do all things through God's help who strengthens us. Not that I know scripture better than Saint Benedict, but I'm just saying, like, here, you know, it's easy to get, like, flustered when in public you're put on the spot. And that's what happened. He was put on the spot. But so he really spoke out of humility. But the father, you know, of the son who died, he pleaded. He said, he even swore an oath to Benedict that, "I'm not going to leave you, Benedict, until you restore my son to life." And Benedict was so troubled at this oath. I mean, again, in Scripture, tells us that we shouldn't make an oath only. I mean, we shouldn't make it on earth or like, you know, we can make it to God, but you don't frivolously make an oath. But anyway, so Benedict said, okay, where is the body? And the father told him that he left the body at the gate of the monastery. Remember, Benedict wrote this rule for the monastery. It's called the Benedict Rule. And he's the one that founded Western monasticism, okay? And so they went to go and search for Benedict after they left the body there. And then what happened was Saint Benedict went to the gate, saw the dead body of the boy, and it was lifeless, and he bent over it. Then he stood and lifted his hands to pray. And he said this, quote, O Lord, do not consider my sins, but the faith of this man, he is the father, who is asking to see his son alive again and restore to this body the soul thou hast taken from it. Benedict's prayer was scarcely over when the body became animate. It went back to life, and it was throbbing with life again, and all who were present attributed the miracle to heavenly intervention. In other words, there were witnesses. There were companions to Saint Benedict. Of course, the dad was there, and the son was back to life again. And again, the saint had restored the child alive again, and was happily back to his father, who was like so jubilant. So again, this is that story where he was humble. He knows he couldn't do this on. He thought only was limited to the apostles. But again, we should know in Scripture that when Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he commissioned the 12 apostles, right? And he actually says that he told them to go into the whole world, proclaim the gospel. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So it shows that we need to be baptized, and then whoever doesn't believe will be condemned. And then he said, these are the signs that will accompany those who will believe. In my name, in using Jesus' name, the name Jesus, okay, that they will drive out demons, they will speak new languages, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not be harmed. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Do you remember in the readings this week that Jesus gave the apostles the ability to drive out demons and to heal every sickness and every illness? So if that's you out there, if you have any sickness or illness or anybody else that you know, ask the apostles help. And this is what St. Benedict was thinking. It was only to the apostles. But now we learned it's to all, to everyone that God wants to give, right? And so this is how we too can do this, and how we, if we drink any deadly thing, it will not harm us. We can say these different prayers to our Father, pray grace before meals, have the St. Benedict medal, pray those prayers of the St. Benedict with on the medal there, okay? And then so now here, I'll go into the next story about him raising the dead. Here, St. Benedict, it's about how the devil was causing a lot of malice. And what happened was the monks that were at work dealing with the monastery's walls. They were fixing it up. And while Benedict was praying in the room, in his own room, in his own cell, the devil appeared to him and was really sarcastic and said that he was on his way to visit the monks who were at work, you know, fixing or adding to the monastery walls, okay? And Benedict sent word at once to the monks that to, you know, be on guard, that he's delivering them from evil. He's trying to help them be on guard because the devil is on his way to disturb them. But the devil moves fast. I mean, he's a spirit, right? He can just go from here to there like in quantum speed, you know, just by speed of thought, okay? And he overturned the wall you know, where his bunks were building. And what happened was, under the ruins of this wall was a very young monk, and his body was crushed. And so they found out that this young monk was actually the son of a tax collector. All right, okay. And so the monks hurried and reported this tragedy to Saint Benedict. And the monk had now died, and he didn't have the last rites either. And he's a monk, right? Around all these other monks, and I'm assuming these monks are either priests and or brothers. And so there was the additional sorrow that he didn't die with the last rites. And so Benedict, you know, now having been able to raise the dead and knowing that God can work through him, he told them to bring the body of the young monk to his room. And the body of this young monk was so mangled that both arms and legs were broken and all the bones were crushed. They had to carry the remains in the blanket. Now, St. Benedict's room, there was this reed mat and where he was accustomed to pray. And he told everyone to leave. He closed the door and he knelt down to pray. And within that very hour, the young man was healed. And not only was he healed, he sent him back to work, whole and healthy. I mean, do you remember when Jesus, you know, raised the dead? And Peter's mother-in-law, right? She was sick and had a fever, and after he healed her, he had her, he allowed her to go, you know, cook and clean and what have you. I'm messing up on the exact story, but I hope you understand what I mean. So here Benedict has the young monk who was literally obliterated, right? Not that he's like Flat Stanley or anything, but he was healed totally. There were no broken bones, there were no wounds, not even a bruise. And so all the witnesses, the fellow monks there were like astounded that they were able to finish the wall, and they built this wall. And I can just imagine that. I mean, just imagine construction workers, right? You know, seeing this happen and one of their own get hit. I mean, you saw that in the news, right? Somebody dropped their tape measure. I thought it was in New York or New Jersey. The tape measure fell from up on high. I don't know how many stories. It hit a guy, a Christian guy, who was talking about the Lord. He just delivered something at the construction site, and it hit his head, and he died. I mean, it's like, imagine if there was some miracle that can happen that it can also show the power of God. I was something heartbroken. But here's something here, again, how this monk was healed totally by Saint Benedict. Anyway, so now with the few minutes left of the parable of the sower, you know, I really can't add a whole bunch because this is the best Bible study that Jesus gave himself, right? And told us what the parable of the sower is. You know, how he sowed seeds, right? Some hit the path, some hit the thorns, right? And then let me go to that. I'm turning to it here. And then some went on rocky ground, right? It went on the path, then on rocky ground, and then on the thorns. So many people, and then those that fell on rich soil, it produced fruit, 160 or 30-fold. Now, what I want you to ask yourself, in all honesty, which person are you? So when you read that scripture from Matthew chapter 13, it's like the first 23 verses, Matthew chapter 13. Read the whole thing, 23 verses. Ask yourself, where are you really, that person that when the seed, that's the word of God, when you hear it, whether you hear it on the radio or you hear it, when you go to mass, you hear the some reading scripture, you go to a Bible study, or you watch something on YouTube or what have you, are you just carried away with all the anxieties of the world and having that taken away from you? Or do you get sidetracked, with all the pressures or the vanities of life and the riches and all the things you have to do? So where are you in their particular? Because, you know, in that first instance, it's the birds that take away the soil that was thrown on the path. That's really the demons, the devil. So I think many people can fall into that, where you have the best of intentions. You hear something good on the radio, thanks be to God for WTMR, 800 AM and in his Sign Catholic Radio, or wherever you like to listen or watch or read something about our Lord and the scripture. But then what happens is the devil takes that away because somehow you're not able to really take it to heart. And then let's say when it gets on thorny ground, a rocky ground, you have little soil, right? There's not much it can take root on. And so when the sun or the heat of the day, whatever pressures you have in the day, you forget all about what's happening and how you could really use the scripture, use God's word, and use our Lord, his help, to help you with your marriage, your sickness, your finances, whatever seems to be bothering you, if there's any kind of addiction and so forth. So he can help you that way versus that if you felt had thorns and it got choked up, that are you that person? Try to honestly find out where you are. Because as a doctor, if a doctor doesn't know the diagnosis, how can he treat you? And usually what we were taught in medical school was believe what your patient is saying. So if your patient says the pain is here or the pain is there or this is how I got it or this is what I think I have, give them the benefit of the doubt and believe it. And then, of course, there'll be different tests to prove it or disprove it, right? You always see the good in the person. So in the same thing, try to diagnose your own self. Like, what is it? Which of those three are you? Or are you bearing good fruit that you're producing 160 or 30-fold? And then whatever you think, tell somebody about that. Do you think that I'm in this ask your spouse, right? Or ask your kids or ask your best friend or your coworkers. Try that. And they'll tell you the truth. Like, oh, yeah, I really think you're in this. So that's why you need an objective person to tell you this. Just like in confession, you need somebody who's objective, who can tell you the truth. It's like, yeah, I don't think so, you know. But hopefully you'll find that. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this program of Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. I hope you tune in, every Thursday here, that I'm on. And also I'm here on First Fridays. So I wish you the best. And remember that we are signed, sealed, and delivered, right? With the signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. So God bless you all, and have a good evening. This is Dr. Anthony.
Thank you for being with us today. Join us next week for another episode of Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.